Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Community Radio. It's Thursday morning. I'm Jack, and that's Jim. And how are you doing, Jim? We had a little... I usually hit the button so right. And,
you are usually so right, but today you were so off. Welcome to the first Thursday in May. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. No. Well, the weather tells me that it is, but... The year's
line. You pedaled down, I pedaled down, wasn't it? And along the way, I found a coin from Ireland.
Whoa.
From Ireland in the streets of Sandpoint. And the interesting thing about it, it's pre-EU.
Really?
Yes. 1966. So, don't ask me how it got there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. You are...
A found money man.
Yes. You're somewhat famous for, especially around pledge drive time, coming in with change that you pick up from all over town.
But, you know, I think this one today was a residue from yesterday. Yesterday, I found, as if someone took a handful of money and threw it down, it was like 8 coins. Some were U.S., some were Canadian, 2 were EU, and 1 was from a country that had script language on it.
Huh.
So don't ask me. It seems like I'll never have anything to do with money again. And they flung it into the streets. And, of course, I'm pedaling my bicycle, and I go, whoa. And the first thing I do is I stop. And I look around to see if there's a camera on me. But anyway, there's money in the streets of Sandpoint, folks. And this is the morning show with Jim and Jack. And we've got 2 special guests in the studio with us. Debbie Love, she is the executive director of the Bonner Community Food Bank. And she is always a, you're going to have to say good morning again, because the button man was unbuttoned. Okay, now you can say it.
Thank you. Good morning.
And with her is Carol Warren. She is vice president and volunteer at the food bank. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
But before we get too far, we got this wonderful weather to talk about, but before we even get to that, I want to talk about the magic of technology, and you can stream us 88.5 KRFY by going to our website and hit the streaming button. And I want to say hello to my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, Marie and Ken. They texted me that they are going to be listening, and they are welcoming 90 degrees this afternoon. But it's not humid. It's not the bad humid, but 90, can you believe that?
Ooh.
I'm not ready for that yet.
No.
But, what is our weather going to be?
Our weather is a little more mild than that. We have a high of 69 degrees today with increasing clouds throughout the day, mostly cloudy tonight. Lows in the high 40s for the rest of the week and the weekend. In the evenings with highs during the day right around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, high of 69, partly sunny, and on Saturday, a slight chance of showers, and then a slight chance of thunderstorms with a high of 70 degrees.
When do the thunderstorms move in? Afternoon?
The showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m.
Cool.
Partly sunny, and calm wind becoming south around 5 miles an hour. Only a 20% chance of precipitation. Sunday, more of the same as Saturday, with that slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, with a high up to 73 degrees, and then a chance of showers on Sunday night. Monday, if you can trust the forecast that far ahead, a slight chance of thunderstorms continues in a high of 72 degrees. That's as far as I can see.
Well, you know how I am with the weather forecasts. I always like to try to understand them. And when it says 20% chance, does that mean if I stay in one spot, it'll be 1/5 of an opportunity that I'll get rain? Or does it mean 120% someplace in the whole area where I might not be standing?
No, I think it's the first one. I'm not sure.
So if I stand in one spot, okay, good. I just want to understand things,
yeah.
Jack.
I think it's not a chance of I don't think it's the chance of everybody in the area getting
20%.
Yeah,
but it's just me.
1/5 of the area.
I should take it personally, huh?
Okay. I would think so. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of lovely weather, and we have a couple of bright, shiny, wonderful people with us from the Bonner Community Food Bank, and Debbie is the executive director, and she's been on before and doing an incredible job. And we've got about 6 different things to talk about. What do you want to jump in, Debbie, and talk about first?
Let's talk about the Hunger Bowl.
Okay, the Hunger Bowl, let's go for it.
Okay, well, we had it, so it was in April.
Oh, Hunger Bowl. I finally got that. B-O-W-L. Bowling. Duh.
We're striking out hunger.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
At Huckleberry Lanes. Tell us, when was that?
It was April 7th. It was a Saturday.
Okay.
And the weather was on our side that day. We had a lot of rain.
Cool. Driving people indoors.
Exactly, yes. This was our second year of holding this event, and it was a success. We had 15 teams, and we also included this year an open bowl. So those that are not competitive but just want to participate and help the food bank, they came in the morning and bowled a few games, and we raised about $4,500.
Boy, that is a chunk of change.
It is, yes. So
let's back up a bit. Let's talk about the number of people who use the services of the food bank. Let's talk about numbers and then how that $4,500 works with that.
Absolutely. So in April, we served 1,800 individuals, which comes to around 800 families.
Okay.
So for the month.
You do individuals as well as families up to whatever number of children.
Exactly. So anyone in the household we count from infant, actually from 1 year old until they're 18. Or sometimes we have families living together. Mm-hmm. So there's a household of 5 or 6.
Right.
And we do, so it's one person registered on for the food bank, but then we have the number of households or number of people within that household.
So 1,800 people, approximately 400.
800 families.
800 families. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was just in April. Now, is that a higher or low, are those numbers?
It's higher. Yeah.
Higher.
And
okay.
The interesting thing is we had 38 households that were homeless. And that has increased significantly. So
when you say homeless, like living in an RV or living in a tent or living in a shelter?
Yep. Or their car.
Or their car. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. 38 families?
Yes.
Here in our small little community.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So,
when those numbers came in, we were just,
Yeah.
It's increased and,
Yeah. And so tell me, $4,500. Okay, where does that go? Where does the money go?
Well, right now, specifically, we started this fundraiser in April because our shelves are low. The weather's getting better and people tend to forget. You know,
the holidays are over, the cold winter months.
Yep, and so we're just not thinking about that and mm-hmm. that there are still people that need to eat. So we started this, and what that does is it helps us purchase food. So staple items, Jack, peanut butter.
Jack, there's a little joke behind that. Jack, what's the joke behind that?
I like to ask, what does a food bank need?
And what's the number one item?
Yeah, and it's always food, peanut butter. She never says jelly. It's always peanut butter.
Or bread.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but let's be honest. I can remember as a kid sticking my finger in the jar. And, peanut butter, mm-hmm. I never liked it on bananas. But some people like it on like a peanut butter and banana sandwich. But
it's
peanut
a versatile
butter,
food.
The mm-hmm. number one.
Mm-hmm. This is the second annual Hunger Bowl.
Yes.
So is any plans to do more than one a year? Or is this just... You're looking forward to number 3 next April.
Yep, we're looking forward to number 3 next April.
Okay.
And, Washington Trust was our sponsor for that, Washington Trust Bank, and Huckleberry Lanes, they partner with us. So,
how many lanes do you know that Huckleberry has? Do you know?
They have 15 lanes.
15 lanes. Mm-hmm. I haven't bowled in years, which tells you that I did not go to the Huckleberry Bowl, but I should.
Me neither, but we could do, next year.
They could call it the gutter bowl for me.
Exactly. Well, the first round, we had Columbia Bank. They were our winners for that.
Okay.
And the second round, it was a group of folks from Priest River that come over, and they are the old school bowlers. They had their own balls and their own bags.
Serious folks.
It was fun. It was
but,
a lot of fun.
But there is a food bank in Priest River as well.
Yes. Yeah. So we oversee, there's a food bank in Priest River, and that's our satellite food bank. And we've expanded that. We moved out of the Happy Ager Senior Center and into the Rivertown Mall there. So to give us a little more square feet.
When you count 800 families, 1,800 individuals, does that count Priest River?
It does. Thank you. Yes. For the county. So.
For the county. Mm-hmm. So that includes both food banks.
Yes.
Today's important for the food bank, isn't it?
It is. Today is Idaho Gives, and it's happening all day. This morning, in fact, some of my colleagues from other nonprofits are sitting down at Evans Brothers this morning from 8 to 10. And what it is it's a day of giving for the state, and Idaho Nonprofit Council is the sponsor of this. And local nonprofits in Bonner County have registered to be a part of it, and anyone can get online. There's a platform there to give. So,
And the giving is throughout the entire day?
It is, yes, until midnight.
Till midnight. So one should go to?
IdahoGives.org.
IdahoGives.org. And do you pick a 501c3, or do you pick an organization, or does it just go into a general pot and then divide it?
No, you pick an organization, and you can give a little or a lot to many or a few, so... It's a wonderful way to get our names out. And also what I love about locally, it's nonprofits coming together that normally may not. And so it's fun to always see them and be able to get together
put
and talk about
faces behind the organizations.
Exactly. Yeah.
So down at Evans Brothers, if you want to go in person, there's a handful of folks down there right now.
Yes. And so they have their laptops or tablets that you can get on.
And they're streaming us.
Yeah, I bet they are. Anyway, how long has the food bank participated with Idaho Give?
This is our second year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it has been successful for you, I take it?
It has. It has. In fact, last year, we didn't have a lot of donors, but the donors that did contribute are all new to us. And so we're able to build a relationship that way.
Yeah.
Also, it gives visibility and presence to the food bank. You know that one would like to get hundreds of thousands of dollars in, but if that doesn't occur, at least the name of the food bank and what you do gets out there.
Right. Yeah, we just like to be a partner and help our local community with other nonprofits.
Yeah. Well, it's a cool idea, Idaho Gives. I don't know how many years it's been going on. If you listen to the morning show yesterday, I think just yesterday they were talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I only heard part of that show. I have, you know, I'm a busy guy.
One can podcast that.
Yes.
How would you do that?
I don't know.
Because... I can send you the link. Okay. I have the link.
Go to krfy.org
and hit the link. Let's take a break before we continue on with more information about the food bank, because very patiently sitting here and smiling with us, we want to get her on the air. Carol Warren, a volunteer and vice president for the Bonner Community Food Bank. Carol, how long have you been a volunteer with the food bank?
Since 2005.
2005. And what sort of duties or what sort of things have you volunteered for?
At the food bank?
Yeah.
Riding in the van, picking up groceries to all the grocery stores in the area that give us groceries, of course. thank you. Putting things on shelves, putting points on everything. All the canned goods have points on them. So sometimes you have to put a 5 or a 4 or a 3, whatever.
Can you explain the point system?
Yes. Bakery is normally 2 points, so we use black markers and write 2 points on cakes and pies and sweet rolls and things like that. Cans of fruit, I believe, are usually 3 points. Beans are 3 points. Tuna fish is 5 points.
How about peanut butter?
Peanut butter, depending on the size. Some of the peanut butter is very large, and maybe that might have a 10 on it. The other ones that are smaller, I believe, maybe have fives on them. So everything that goes out to the market has points on it. Except the produce, that's always 0 points.
Produce is zero?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Produce,
because we get a lot of it.
And you need quick turnover.
Exactly. Ah. Exactly. It doesn't last forever. Sometimes we get produce from second harvest. We might get potatoes or pears or things like that. Normally, eggs are 4 points, but we've had an enormous amount of eggs lately, and so eggs have been 0 points, which people like. And they can come in, clients can come in once a week and spend their points, and they really like it when they come in. They don't have to spend a lot of points. They can get produce and eggs and things like that for 0 points.
So clients get points depending mm-hmm. upon size of family and other exactly. variables, mm-hmm. and then it's like a regular grocery store rather than cash exchanging hands. Right. It's points.
Exactly.
That is just way too cool of an idea.
One of the things I'm really impressed with are some families have younger children, obviously, and maybe a 9 or 10 year old will come in with mom or dad, and they'll give them a pen and a sheet to write on, and then the kids have to keep track of how many points they get, how many points they have, and how many points they're spending, which I think is really great. I was a teacher for 35 years, and I believe in teaching children how to do all those things, so it's great. Yeah.
Well, what's great is that, you know, learning can take place outside the classroom.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
You know, God forbid that should occur. And how wonderful that, and how long, maybe Debbie would have the answer to this, how long has this point system been in operation at the food bank?
Since 2011.
And 2011?
So, yeah. So when we moved into the new building off of Boyer, Alice Wallace, who was my predecessor.
Yay, Alice.
Yes. She went over to a food bank outside of Seattle, and they were one of the first in the nation to actually implement the point system. And so she loved it so much, they brought it back, and it's evolved for, you know, to work for us and how we'd like to do it. So it's been a great thing. That was one of the attractions that I really liked when coming to the food bank. So
That concept of it, what I find interesting, that you, Jack, you know, produce, which probably has a lot of value nutritionally and, you know, has 0 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That was important for me to do and to keep it zero at all times. It's expensive to buy fresh food at the market. Mm-hmm. We had a client coming in, said she paid $2 for an orange.
Ooh.
You know, and so they really value that they can have salads from the grocery stores or even just fresh food from the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then people bring in fresh fruit from their trees in the summer
locally.
Also.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
We get a lot of that. Yeah. Pears and apples and
plums.
Yep.
That's a good point to bring up, Carol. We get a lot of calls and people ask, are we able to bring in our homegrown garden vegetables or fruit from their trees? And absolutely.
And the number they can call is?
208-263-3663.
So as people are, you know, so in other words, as you know, this is the time where we're planting gardens and whatever. Maybe put down a couple extra plants, whether it be tomatoes or whatever, for the food bank. And when it comes harvest time, that'd be a great way to make, because not everybody can give money, but boy, golly, you can put an extra plant or two in your garden.
You can. Yeah. That's very cool.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah. Carol, you've been around now since 2005. You said you've been volunteering.
Yes.
So you've seen the transition between the old building and the old system.
Absolutely.
What do you think of the new system?
It's wonderful. I really like it. When we were in the old building on 95, we just gave people a bag of groceries and you didn't know if they would want that or not, but that's what they got from us. So obviously some of the items in the bag they didn't really need or want. And
right.
So maybe they'd give it to their neighbor. I don't know what they did with it, but this works out so much better with a point system. They can get what they need and what they want, just like going to the grocery store.
Right. Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me, and it's a cool way of doing it. Do you go you at the end you do sort of a checkout thing?
Yes.
And then just like at the grocery store.
Right.
Another dimension to it would be it gives the client who might be feeling reluctant or whatever, gives them control.
Yeah.
And in other words, hey, I'm like in a regular grocery store and I'm choosing and which I think is an important thing in terms of the relationship between the food bank and their clients.
No, absolutely, Jim. We have a lot of people that honestly do not want to be there, and they're embarrassed, and they'll park down the road.
Oh, that must break your heart.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we always say, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to get you through that, whatever challenge you're going through right now. So the choice plus responsibility equals dignity is what I say.
Wonderful. Yeah. That sounds. Let's take a break. And then this will be a great lead in on several levels to the raised bed gardens at the food bank. This Saturday on May 5th, the farmers market opens in Farman Park here in Sandpoint. And what better tune than David Gann's Bounty of the County, because we're going to be getting the Bounty of the County in the weeks and months ahead.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
David Gann's Bounty of the County, and if the name sounds familiar, he is the person whom you can hear at 9 o'clock on Saturday nights with the Grateful Dead Hour. He not only has his own band, but he is like a walking, talking history of the Grateful Dead.
That's a fun show, the Grateful Dead Hour. Yeah.
It's a great show, and the Bounty of the County, and we're here on 88.5 KRFY, the Thursday edition of the Morning Show with Jim and Jack. We have Debbie Love. She is the Executive Director of the Bonner Community Food Bank, and Carol Warren. She is a volunteer and Vice President of the organization.
Debbie, the Bounty of the County, we played that in part because the farmers market opens up this weekend, but also you guys have some raised beds on your property as well. Some new ones. I mean, you've got, the food bank has their own garden now.
Yes, it's exciting. We started this last year at this time with 5 raised beds, and we've expanded it thanks to funding from the Cadeau Foundation with 4 more raised beds. And
so you're up to 9.
We're up to 9.
And these are like, how big's a raised bed?
4 by 8.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what the advantage of a raised bed is?
You don't
have to, when you get to be my age, you don't have to bend over and squat down to weed, that you can just stand there and you just walk along and go, not you, you know, like that. And absolutely. There was an article in the newspaper, two, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it showed people working in the soil. Are things coming up?
They are starting to come up, yes. One of our main volunteers, Roz Holland, she is also with Food for Our Children and also just joined our board as well. She has really been the force behind growing the starts for the food bank for the beds. And so she was a little worried because she's been told, she lives outside of town, but people in town say that you have to watch for the snow up on Baldy Mountain.
Do you want to know something? When I saw that picture in the newspaper, I go, ooh, isn't this a little bit too early? We still have our stuff in a greenhouse next to our house, you know? And what did she say?
You know, she thought the same thing. So she had some test starts to, just in case we have some backups, in case they don't take.
and what's coming up?
We have actually some broccoli coming up.
No way.
Yeah. So we've planted some broccoli and snow peas and pole beans, cucumbers, things that a lot can grow and that we don't get a lot in at the food bank. And so kale, chard. Also, we're going to do some herbs. So parsley and basil.
Oh, what fun.
And things like that. Yeah.
So the first raised beds for you guys went in about a year ago.
Yes.
So you're this is 1 year in, and the experiment is going well, I take it.
It is.
Obviously expanding, and it wasn't too much work to maintain or anything like that.
We have dedicated volunteers.
Uh-huh.
Because, Jack, you're right. There is a lot of work. There's one thing to getting them in, but maintaining that and harvesting and keeping up with it is a lot of work.
Right. You had help from Food for Our Children, help put them in?
Yes, Roz Holland is on their board, and then Michelle Murphy.
Yay, Michelle.
Yes, she's our garden angel.
Oh, I like that, garden angel.
That's what I call her. But she's put in, you know, raised beds around at all of our local elementary schools, and so I'll just tell you, we were sitting in a room, and she said, well, what's your vision for the food bank? And I said, one day I just want a garden. Community garden where we can grow fresh produce for clients, and she really made it happen.
Mm-hmm. What's the response been from the clients? You've only had 1 year under your belt. What's the response been?
Oh, they love it. In fact, a few of them were doing taste samples. They received some strawberries from the grocery store, and then we had strawberries from our garden, and they each were trying.
Taste test.
Yep, taste test to say you could really tell the difference. Mm-hmm. The ones that we were growing were much sweeter and smaller. But,
yep, not as large, mm-hmm. What fun. Let's go back to something that Carol mentioned over while we were playing Bounty of the County by David Gans about not necessarily having to donate money, but if you have just trees, or you mentioned you have some trees on your property.
Yes, we have several apple trees and two pear trees, and several times a week I go out and pick the apples and the pears and take them to the food bank, and everything that comes into the food bank gets weighed.
Yeah.
And if it's a single person brings something in, they can get a receipt for that. So.
Okay. And so in other words, those of you in the listening area, if you have some volunteer trees out in your property, and if they're producing, if it's a good apple year or a good pear year, that's more than one can eat or can or freeze, by all means, take it to the food bank, but call them first, and the number is
208-263-3663.
And there you can get the hours when the food bank, because nothing is worse than, I'm going to go out and do some good and drop some stuff off, and you've missed it by 3 hours or something like that. And then also, you know, I think it'd be a neat idea when you're planning your garden, if you have like a little corner of it or whatever for the food bank, whether it be a tomato plant or whatever. You know, some peppers to bring in.
Absolutely. We always accept that. So, I mean, we appreciate it.
So when is going to be the first harvest of the gardens? When does the first, do you do some lettuce?
We do, yes.
Okay, the lettuce are quick grow.
Are they? I don't know.
They are.
Jack!
I do, they yeah.
Are. And they're hardy, so it's good for this, our weather.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've probably got stuff planted that will kind of come in progressively throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, you don't have one big harvest, you know, harvest time. It should spread out.
Right. Yep. So when things are, we have volunteers that'll go and take a look and glean from what they can and bring it in. Last year we harvested within just a month, because we were late to getting started, 120 pounds.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah.
That is a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you do squash?
No, we do not. We get a lot of that from the community. And so when we were designing the beds, we were looking at what do we get, you know.
Well, if I could give you a tip from our raised bed garden, we do squash. But if anybody knows about squash, they'll take over. They will just spread everywhere. We plant them like an inch away from the edge, and then we just drape them over the side. Carol's nodding her head. Right. You just drape them over the side, and they take off like crazy. So they're growing in your raised bed, but they're not pushing.
That's great.
You know, so you know that is that what you do, Carol? I mean, or is that your squash experience?
I've seen that before. Yes, I don't raise squash. No.
Any of your melons or cucumbers or plants like that, they're just garden hogs in terms of space.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is, we're with Debbie Love and Carol Warren from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And so we've got the gardens all, are they all planted yet?
We are still, Lake Pondere High School, their students are coming over every week. This is their second week, and they are helping us plant. So we are turning over the soil, and then they put the seeds in or the starts. So it's slowly getting there. We have 6 out of the 9 planted.
Cool. It seems like this is a volunteer opportunity throughout the year. And you mentioned, you know, bringing in, if somebody brings in fruit for, or fruit from their home orchard, somebody's got to be there to take it in, I imagine, and put it in the right place and do, you know, process that. I suppose check for bad spots and stuff. What, how many volunteers do you have? And it, and are these, am I right that these are all kind of volunteer opportunities? These aren't employees that...
Jack, you are right. Yeah. Yes. We have around 35 to 40 volunteers a month. And we, so another, with the weather warming up, we have volunteers that will, that take a break during the summer.
Sure.
And so we have a lot of openings, helping stocking the shelves, sorting the food.
So if one is interested in becoming a volunteer, how does one do that?
They can call us at 208-263-3663.
And like what time of day, what time of week do you guys need volunteers?
We are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. And if I say, Debbie, you know, that I've got some grandkids that I want to visit, and I'll be gone a couple of weeks in July, and then I might want to take off for a weekend. How do you respond to that sort of thing?
We're really flexible with, with folks, yeah.
That's important, because a lot of times people want to volunteer, but they don't know exactly what they're getting into. I'd like to ask Carol. She has stayed with the food bank over the years. You know, you wanted to volunteer. You have volunteered. Why have you stayed with the organization? What have you, as a volunteer, gotten out of it?
Well, after I retired in 2004, it gave me something to do, for one thing. I didn't want to sit at home and watch television all day. And I wanted to be active. And this is the best place I've been, to be active and join the group and help other people. So,
how do you feel when you see families come in and using the point system and the child marking, okay, 3 points and 6 points, you know, that's, how do you feel watching that?
I really enjoy watching children keeping track of points. Being a retired teacher, it makes a lot of sense. It's helping them with their math. They also need to realize how many points they have. And when mom says, no, we can't afford to get that particular thing because that's 8 points and we've only got three left. So it really helps the child also
to understand how to figure out X number of points. We use so much here.
Right.
I can't get over what a neat system that is.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. And I mean, started in, Alice picked it up in Seattle. Is that, does that seem to be the trend kind of with the other food banks that you see? Is that the way everybody's going?
Yeah. Post Falls Food Bank, they actually came over and observed for a few months, sent their staff to watch how we were doing it and what systems we were using. And so now they, just this year, they started doing the same point method. So
Is it the same way at Priest River, the branch of?
It is. Since we've expanded, they're now able to do more of a market shopping.
Do they have any raised beds over there?
They do not, no.
Okay, that could be in their future. Okay, this is on Saturday. That's why we played Bounty of the County, because of the Farmers Market. But the next Saturday, May 12th, that's a biggie.
It is. It's our postal food drive.
Okay, talk about that.
Postal food drive, okay.
Good. They're looking at each other like, no, yes. you go.
Postmen and women bring in food from wherever they are delivering mail. And there's always two of us at the post office to help them unload their vehicles. And we have people at Super One, Safeway, Yolks. I don't know if there is anybody at Walmart this year.
Walmart.
So
And Winter Ridge.
And Winter Ridge collecting food. And
from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And I understand at Super One from 10 till noon, there'll be a person there with a KRFY t-shirt on. And that will be... Ta-da! I'm going to do it. So come on out. And so how does this work in the grocery stores?
We have folks representing the food bank that will stand outside of the store, and we give little grocery lists of mm-hmm. recommended items if people want to go from that, of things that we need. And you would be handing those out and talking to people and taking them.
And then when they came back out, grab like all the groceries you can get and put them into your cart. Excellent. So this is Saturday, May 12th. And is there a name for that? Is it like food drive day or?
The annual food drive for the food bank. Okay. It's our 8th year. So.
And are you looking for volunteers to person the different stations?
We are. We still have some openings at Walmart.
Okay.
Anytime, 2 hour blocks or an hour block from starting 10 to 4.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to go out that day, if you don't want to go to the grocery store, you can just leave your cans in your mailbox?
Right. Or what? Yes. Ah. Exactly. Yeah. The mail carrier will pick those up and they'll bring them to the food, or excuse me, they'll bring them back to the post office. Mm-hmm. And Carol will actually be at the post office helping them unload their trucks.
Single-handedly.
Yes.
Crate after
She's
crate.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. She comes in every day.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to say about this opportunity on May 12th, it's a great opportunity to involve children. You know, in other words, let them see firsthand in a very mild way how to give back to the community and what a gift it is to have food on the table. You know, I don't know about anyone in this room, but, you know, we might not have had the most, but I never went to bed hungry. I always took that for granted. And I'm quite sure that for many people, obviously the 1,800 individuals or the 800 families in our community were the food. And I think that on May 12th, you know, if you have a son or daughter, you know, make it a family affair. Volunteer, come out and let them get enthused. And, you know, giving back to the community is a lifelong sort of, I think, a good person, a position to be in.
Absolutely. That's a great point. We have a lot of donors that do. They include their children, but it's a great family event. And it helps us for the summer months. And that's when the children are out of school. And so there's more of a need at home where they're cooking three meals a day versus maybe the one dinner because they're receiving breakfast or lunch at school. So this is a good time for us to have this food drive.
Are you going to be at Are you going to be at the Idaho Poor Authority tonight?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
It is Idaho Gives Day, and we will be there from 5 to 8 at Idaho Poor Authority, and also have raffle items. And if you sign up and donate to your favorite cause, you'll be entered into a drawing.
So there's kind of a crowd this morning at Evans Brothers, and then there's sort of the fun crowd tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority. Right. What it sounds like to me.
Yeah, you know, the morning crowd, they're getting ready for work and grabbing their coffee. And But tonight will be the fun.
Yes. No, I didn't want to forget that. Carol, what were you whispering about over there? Sounds like you've got something on your mind.
I was whispering to Debbie. In the summer, usually our families get how many more points, Debbie, per month?
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah.
That's why we bring her. And she... No, I appreciate that. We do. We give extra points to families with children, 10 extra points, and so to help them get through those summer months when they're not in school.
Well, yeah, that's very valuable because, right, like you were just saying, you don't get that when you don't have that extra meal. That's big.
It is
big. Carol, the food bank has been your, I guess, home away from home. Did she say every day?
Yes,
you're an everyday volunteer,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you are now you're vice president of volunteering, or just
the board.
Vice president
of the board.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys need? How about that?
I'm really not sure right now. We would have to talk to the gentleman that works in the back, John Larrabee, to see what we need, or maybe Debbie knows.
Right now, because the shelves are low and it's not the holidays, canned foods, proteins, the chicken and the tuna fish.
I bet you that on May 12th, when we get lists to hand out to people, it'll have items that are in most in need.
Yes.
I'm guessing. We've been here talking with Debbie Love and Carol Warren from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And is there anything that we haven't mentioned? Today is Idaho Gives, and one can give by going to idahogives.org. Pick the organization that you want to give to. There's festivities going on right now at Evan Brothers tonight from 5 till 8 at Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar Street. John and Vicky, you know, doing a great job there, and we want to give a big shout out to them. I cannot thank you enough, both of you, for the good work you do in the community. And you know, it takes, you know, you have to stop and think about people going to bed hungry here in this incredible nation and in our county. And so thank you guys so very much. And I will see you at Super One from 10 till noon on Saturday, May 12th.
Thank you, Jim and Jack. It's always a pleasure. And we appreciate KRFY for keeping us on and keeping on the forefront of people's minds about hunger relief in our county. So,
well, Bonner Community Food Bank does an incredible job and meets a real need in. So let's take a music break and then get out your Kleenexes, okay? This is the song that was number one 50 years ago, May 3rd, 1968. It's the sad one called Honey by Bobby Goldsboro. It tells a sad story.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That was Bobby Goldsboro. I hope you went through several Kleenexes there. It's the song, song's narrator remembers his deceased lover and the day she planted a twig, and he sort of laughed, and now the tree reminds him of her.
Oh, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
That
was his only number one song, and it was number one in 1968, 58 years ago, from April 7th to May 11th. That was over a month at number one. Huh? I don't remember it being that painful. You're listening to The Morning Show with Jim and Jack, and we're going to start talking about the events coming up this weekend. First of all, we want to re-mention Idaho Gives Day. Go to idahogives.org and pick an organization here in North Idaho that you choose to make a donation to. That's very important.
Indeed. And if I'm reading this correctly, today is the last day that you can see the film Final Portrait of the film about the Swiss painter and sculptor Alberto Giacometti. Showtimes are online, so you'll have to check that out.
But and I caught that, and Jeffrey Rush is in the lead. Rush, who is one of those great actors, won an Academy Award, I think, for Shine. He has just an incredible career. He was the teacher in King's Speech. He's in the Pirates of Caribbean and all that. He's just in all of them. He puts in an incredibly frustrating performance because I don't like the character, but he's so good at it.
Yeah.
So Final Portrait tonight at 7:30 at the Panada.
Today is, as I mentioned, seems like I mention this every week, but the Community Hospice Adult Grief Support Group is today from Bonner General Health. Group members frequently find solace and comfort in the recognition that there are others going through similar experiences. Application is required, but attendance is flexible. Meeting starts at 6 p.m. tonight in the Bonner General Health classroom at 520 North 3rd Avenue. Contact Lisa at 208-265-1185 for an application and more information. That's the first and third Thursday of every month. Tomorrow.
Which creeps at a petty pace. So says the poet.
That I would have guessed. I would have guessed that was the poet. Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow because it is a musical time of year, as are all times of year here in North Idaho. Tomorrow, the musical lineup is as follows. At the Idaho Poor Authority, there will be live music from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. No artist announced at this time on this sheet of paper, but somebody will be there. They always are. First Friday, live music at the Pondere Winery on 301 Cedar Street. Live music with Brian Jacobs from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. A delightful night of music. Some come swoon over his soulful voice. That's at the Pondere Winery on Cedar Street. There's live music out in the town of Pondere, spelled a little bit differently, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Farmhouse Restaurant. There is music at the Wine Bar on the Cedar Street Bridge, and it's also First Fridays with Devin Wade at the McDuff's Beer Hall from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. the first Friday. Devin is an independent country music artist out of Sandpoint with a strong love for what country music has always been, songs about real life. I just played a song by him on the radio here the other night, but I finally got some Devin Wade in the
On Tuesday night, local scene.
That's absolutely right. Tune in at 8 if you want to hear more Devin Wade on the air. There is live music at the 219 Lounge. And on the 4th, that's tomorrow, Northwest guitarist Truck Mills and his four-piece band from 9 p.m. to midnight. Ooh, a little late-night music. Truck is a master musician who plays a wide variety of music, ranging from blues with a jazz gospel flair to rock and roll. It is free and open to the public as long as you are 21 years of age or older.
And heading into the weekend, we're done with Friday. And boy, you could just be scooting all over town, catching all the good music. Saturday and Sunday is Silverwood opening weekend to celebrate Silverwood's opening in 1988. Admission to the theme park is $19.88 per person per day when purchasing a ticket at Silverwood's front gate or online at silverwoodthemepark.com. That's quite a good. That's a bargain. 1988.
Do you ever go to Silverwood, Jim?
I went last year when grandniece was visiting, and let me tell you, I want to go back because there's an ice cream parlor there that I swear to God they put on a waffle cone, a half a gallon of ice cream. These people come. Have you seen those cones?
I have not. I've never been to Silverwood.
Oh, you should. It's great fun. The two things I like about it is I haven't done the half a gallon of ice cream on top of a cone. And the other thing is on the water rides, they have a place where you can put a quarter in a machine and water explodes right next to the little vehicle that people, but they don't know it. And what you do is you try to time it, you know, and you just stand there, you drop it in, then you look away like you're looking at a osprey or an eagle, and then splash, and it's just a delight.
I haven't been to a theme park in years, but I would like to. I used to ride roller coasters. But
My days are done doing. It's a fun place, and especially if you have little children visiting or whatever, it's just great to see it through their eyes. So that's this weekend, 1988. Not bad. Also on Saturday, the Sandpoint Farmers Market opens for the season at Farm and Park from 9 to 1 in downtown Sandpoint. Shop for locally grown produce. I doubt very much if there's going to be much of that going on unless it's been hothouse, but you can get a lot of seedlings, and that's always a fun thing. Kick off the spring with Sandpoint's Waldorf School starting at 9:30. They'll be there for the entire family, including a maypole celebration, spring-inspired music, and flower crown making for the kids. That's sandpointflowermarket.com. And then, of course, with the 5th being the first Saturday of the month, that means free at the Bonner County History Museum at 611 South Ella. That's a first free Saturday. Everyone is invited to enjoy the museum free of charge.
Did you know that it's Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, I did. Up. Absolutely.
On the 5th, it is Cinco de Mayo. Maker Point Studios will be celebrating. That's the Community Woodworking, Metal, and Art Shop, holding an open house starting at noon until they run out of people and food in celebration of Cinco de Mayo. It will be Texas-style fajitas and fixins. It's a free event. Ooh. And good chance to go see Maker Point, which is a fascinating... They've become a co-op. They've transitioned, and if you haven't been down there lately or not at all, this would be the time to go. 1424 North Boyer Avenue, C106 through 14. Memberships are available. Tax-deductible donations, always acceptable. Accepted. 255-4236 for more information about that.
Saturday night is Reader Appreciation Concert at DeLuna's Cafe.
Right.
They're going to host a concert for the Reader with the Brown Salmon Truck performing with Drew Brown on bass, Samantha Karsten on vocals, and Truck Mills on guitars. You can either schedule a dinner and concert or just the concert. Just call DeLuna's 208-263-0846 for tickets and reservations. That's appreciation for the weekly Reader, Ben Olson and Cameron Rasmussen, the job that they are doing.
Mm-hmm. And all the folks who contribute to that magazine.
Absolutely.
We are very much out of time.
One quick update. My sister texted me from Arlington, Virginia, who she has been streaming us. She said temperatures are 80 degrees right now, reaching 92 this afternoon, bright and sunny, not humid yet this season.
Well, okay.
Thank you, Marie.
It's a dry heat, so...
like that's Phoenix.
Right. Yeah, that's 90 degrees is, that's plenty.
For me, when they talk about draining the swamp, the first thing I think of is no humidity.
Yeah. okay, we are out of time, but I do want to mention there's another Cinco de Mayo fundraiser. I would be remiss if I mentioned two, but not all three. From 4:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Trinity at City Beach, proceeds benefit Kiniksu Land Trust's Pine Street Woods and Angels Over Sandpoint. Lots of fun to be had there with auction, raffles, taco bar, live music, games, and drinks open to the public. That's at Trinity at City Beach. There's a concert at the Hive on the 5th. Future Birds, the Zach Cooper Band at the 219, and the ongoing K&K Spring Fishing Derby. I'd like to know how that's going too. Maybe we can get an update.
We can find out.
Yeah, tune in this next Tuesday, 1 week from 2 days ago, so what, 5 days from now, Primary Candidates Forum. You can tune in here on the radio station at around 5:30 p.m. as soon as everyone's seated.
May 8th, that's Tuesday.
We will be broadcasting live from the Candidates Forum. If you don't know who's running, who you're voting for, the primary season is upon us, so tune in on May 8th or go down to the what's it called? The city, the Sandpoint High School Auditorium. That's where it is. And it will be a moderated format with the public invited to hear the candidates speak and submit questions. We're way over time, Jim. I guess that's it.
That's the way it is.
Good morning. Stay tuned for Bird Note.
Thank you so much for tuning in to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY.